Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is a distinct pleasure of the management to present to you the evening star attraction. Here we are, back after the exclusive 2-year tour as a serious disagreement from Sydney, Australia, the physical media show on a mission from VOD starring Finding Dragon Total Reboot's Alexa Toliopoulos. That's me, and the one, the only, One Heat Minute and Zodiac Chronicles Blake Howard. Ladies and gentlemen, the Blues Brothers.
Alex, I'm so happy to be back. Oh, yes. Oh,
yes, Mama. It is great to be back. And it is extremely exciting to be talking about those Blu-ray discs. This week on the podcast, we're continuing our discussion on a batch of blues coming all the way from Sunburnt Screens, a lovely little boutique number here in Australia that honours classic Australian films, offering us rediscoveries of some of our all-time favourites in this country and some unheralded, unearthed gems of the rarest order. This week, we got a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. We're talking about one of my favourite Australian movies of all time, Anna Kourkinos' Head On, and a film that I have still yet to see. Blake Howard, why don't we start by you telling me a little bit about Sirens.
A minister and his wife.
Do you want to?
I'm not sure.
Well, you don't have to decide now. You wake me up if you do.
On a crusade against immorality.
Do you think the pictures actually damage people?
The last thing we want is a scandal.
And I gather you want me to try and talk him around?
I think an outsider has more of a chance of getting through to him than any of us locals.
Together, they'll visit an enchanted place where a controversial artist,
I like a little opposition, it clears the mind, it's fortifying,
and his models,
you lie on the ground with your eyes closed while he licks your belly button.
You're really shocking.
Will teach them.
Try one of these.
You like her, don't you?
They have nothing to lose.
Stella, what's wrong?
Nothing is wrong!
Except their inhibitions.
So a young clergyman with a partner, his wife, played by Hugh Grant and Tara Fitzgerald, travel to a bohemian artist's retreat. That bohemian artist, a person I never would think would be associated with the words bohemian and artist, Sam Neill, is famous, or perhaps infamous, for painting these sexually explicit and sort of tantalizing works of art that are potentially really corrupting the morality of then an emerging 1930s Australian culture. So, Anthony Campion, Hugh Grant's character, is tasked with trying to sort of squash, kind of censor softly, reason with Sam Neill's Norman Lindsay, to get him to stop painting gorgeous paintings of free-spirited, topless, often models played by the incredible Elle Macpherson, Kate Fisher, and Portia de Rossi. This one from John Dwegan, rather, is... This feels like one of the most paused videos in Australian video shop history from 1993, Sirens. It is just really, it is another one of these meditations on, Australian morality or Australian repressed sexuality. And it's kind of like, it feels like the tide has already turned, and it feels like this is a commentary on, you know, what would be sort of like flagrant sexual practices that kind of corrupted probably the 60s, 70s and all the way through to the 80s and early 90s. And this feels like a look back to go, well, look, when was the turning of the tide in this country around sexual repression and those sorts of things? And so that's what this movie is. And it feels like this very kind of slow kind of period piece. We don't really have those steamy period pieces in Oz as much. And that's what it kind of feels like, this steamy period piece where these extremely attractive, largely bad acting models are sort of swanning about in a Blue Mountains retreat with a very extremely young Hugh Grant before he'd done any of his massive movies. And you know, these very attractive women just getting their kid off, and Sam Neill, you know, sort of walking around with a pipe and painting them, and all of the gettings up to of all this sexual shenanigans on this site. And so this was new to me. Like, I think I maybe had walked in on my brother watching this on VHS many years ago.
He has a poster that looks very like Playboy softcore video store porno. I think that's absolutely why I didn't really watch this movie when I got it in here. I was like, oh, it's a softcore, I'm not interested. I didn't even know that Hugh Grant, I had no idea Sam Neill plays Norman Lindsay in this.
Yes.
Like, I have to watch this now. Norman Lindsay wrote and illustrated The Magic Pudding, one of my core texts of Australiana for me. Like, I love The Magic Pudding. I had no idea they made a softcore adaptation of his life.
Which is that he lives with his children and his wife, who also happens to love to get her kid off. And it's this kind of softcore thing. And, you know, I kind of enjoyed actually seeing what the movie was for the first time. Like I said, I remember my brother watching it, walking in. My brother is several years older than me, so, and then immediately sending young Blake out of the room. No, this is not for you. This is my time, and those sorts of things. So that's largely what I remember the movie for. But I got to watch it, and, you know, it's... I think this movie works so much better in the context of the actual umbrella curation rather than on its own two legs, because of the, you know, these two movies we're talking today and the two previous movies we mentioned, sort of preparing for these, you know, quartet of Australian classics. I was kind of like, this is the softer as far as the impact that you feel from it. It's much more sensuous, and it's much more titillating, and it wants to get you on the purely kind of visceral, you know, attractiveness and allure of all of the people who are in the movie, and they're just like, they're free spirits. Whereas when you think of it in the context of everything that's happening, it's just a series of movies in dialogue with who we are and what we are as sexual people in this country and what our perspective of sex are. And it feels like, you know, kicking off right in the, you know, the late 70s, but definitely occupying this sort of 90s space, was like, you know, as things that repressed sexuality was sort of like being challenged, these different texts were coming and butting against it.
You're
so
talking about Baywatch.
I'm talking about that, man. I'm talking about slow motion Pam Anderson. That's what I'm talking about. And look, what's funny is on this disc, you know, it's a nice transfer. You know, everything that Sunburnt Screens is doing is really good. But there's a really funny informal chat between Hugh Grant and John Dwegan, the director. And why it's hilarious is because Hugh Grant literally remembers this movie like my brother would remember it. Like, he just remembers it like, I don't remember much about it. I remember, like, I wanted the job because I wanted to work in Australia. I dug the script. And the thing I remember most is, like, being around super attractive women with their clothes off all the time. And I'm like,
yeah, also,
good for you. Good for you, Ukraine. Good for you. Yeah. So
he would have been hot off Jurassic Park around this time. Hey,
very close. You know, it's 93. So, you know, Sam Neill, either pre or post Jurassic Park, is like about to be one of the world's biggest movie stars in the highest grossing movie then to date. Here he is just hanging around painting naked chicks instead of dinosaurs, you know?
Good Lord. The Velociraptors aren't the only thing that are putting you in danger this year, Mr. Neill.
So this one is probably one of the softer ones. If you enjoyed it and wore out your VHS, I think you're going to want to get it back for your collection.
High def.
You want that high def. You want Elle Macpherson in high def. But what I'm going to say is we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back to what I know is one of Alexi's all-time favorite films. But what I can truly say is an Australian classic that deserves to be on this label, which is Anna Kokkinos's Head On.
You want to have new experiences? That you want to be free?
Ari, this is Sean. Something's troubling you.
You remind me of something.
Who? I saw the face.
You fuck a few girls for me tonight.
Head On from 1998, directed by Anna Kokkinos, based on the book by Christos Solkis. This is a film that is full on. 19-year-old Ari confronts both his sexuality and his Greek family. Ari despises his once-beloved parents, former radical activists, for having entombed themselves in insular tradition. Ari is obsessed with gay sex, although he does make an unenthusiastic attempt to satisfy the sister of his best friends. While all of this is going on, he's facing problems with his traditional Greek parents, who have no clue about his sexual activities. This was a key text for me as a teenage boy of similar Greek heritage to the absolute megastar Alex Dimitriades of this era. I remember I studied the book for my HSC as like one of my nominated texts, where you can pick your own text for your end of year exams that you're going to analyze. And I chose it because the movie meant so much to me. And I think what is so key to the success of this movie in its translation from the text is how it translates like this kind of poetic stream of consciousness of the book in a very visceral way. Because it kind of captures everything from that book that feels like written poetics, yes, into color and light, in a way that feels so frantic and kinetic. And I think that's so key for me, like, of why this movie works, is that it translates book poetry into visual cinematic poetry in a way that I find rather astounding. And this is a kind of movie that connects with me so deeply in the same way that I really do feel like this is like the Australian version of Saturday Night Fever, of like an angry young man coming into his own and finding his own sexuality and how he relates to those around him through his culture or against his culture. And I think that this is a very, very authentic and harsh look at those kind of diasporic communities that we have in Australia that I'm a part of, where there is like this old traditional values and how they butt up against the new world of Australia and modern culture and how assimilation is not an option.
Yes, I the momentum of Ari's self-destruction in this movie is totally intoxicating, and I think Kokkinos's direction is central to that. And I think the momentum of this movie is blistering, and I think I can't get enough of, despite the fact, like, I don't know if many of our listeners can directly relate to the events that are necessarily depicted, because this is like an extremity. But, you know, there are those great nights that you have with friends, and you might have a few drinks and you go and party, and it feels like that there's these escalating moments, and they're truly the most memorable nights of your life. And it feels like Ari's character is just on, I don't know, this like insane run of this ongoing attempts at escalating, like that phrase of like chasing the dragon or whatever it is, like to get himself to this level of high, to get himself to this level of abandon, to get himself to this moment where in every single thing that he's doing, he's truly rebelling against every single person's expectation. And whenever he's coddled, whenever he's cared for, it's like, how can I escalate this situation into a hostility and insult and be combative and get my way out of it? And I'm just like stunned, because all the people that love him in this movie, he rejects, and doesn't just reject with passivity, but it's aggression, and it doesn't necessarily have to manifest in physical violence, but it's like self-harm in every way, because he's like, if you love me, you're going to have to love me warts and all. And I truly respect the level of self-destruction that this movie embraces. And so for me, revisiting it, I'd seen it a million years ago. It felt like, you know, right, you know, 1998, I think I was at the exact right time in high school seeing this movie, probably around 99. And I was just like, I didn't know movies were so, you know, I didn't know movies could hit so hard. And, you know, I'm also, you know, from being from Maltese background, from that like diaspora community as well. Yeah. And you see how there's this sort of staunch Catholicism and this repression and this like conservatism largely that all happens around it. And then you see all of your young peers and your young cousins and all the generation that Alexi and I belong to, like all railing against it in some way, because you don't want to be confined by it, because, you know, there is a massive hypocrisy that lives in that tradition, in that conservatism, because it's all about double standards and it's all about mistakes that have been made and everything's slidden under the rug because you don't want to have attention attracted.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
To you, because, you know, there's this chain of aunties and friends that are all on the phone sort of sharing all the family's darkest secrets. And he feels like he's just running literally, you know, forgive the pun, but like head on into it. And so truly as a film, one of the true classics of Australian cinema, and, you know, again, a massive highlight to talk with you about, because I know how much you love it. So my favorite movies to talk to you about are these movies that you love so deeply.
Part of the reason I love this so deeply is it features some really fantastic performances from Greek Australian stars. Alex Dimitriadis, he's a megastar in my community. He grew up like one suburb away from me. And like, he truly was like an icon growing up.
King.
But I also really love another actor that plays his father in this, Tony Nikolakopoulos, who is, of course, in The Wog Boy as well around this time. He's a fantastic actor, and he captures like so much of that pressurized emotional energy that is so key to the conflict of this film. But
chief perpetually among disappointed actors. Ethnic dad energy to a level that is uncomfortable, because you're like, I'm so familiar with that energy. Uncles, grandfathers,
he's whatever so strong it is, dads. And deeply masculine. Like you can even smell it on his performance. Like it's so powerful.
Yeah.
But the one performance in this movie that I really, really absolutely adore, one of my favorite actors of all time, largely known as like an Australian theater actor, is a performer called Paul Capsis, who plays Alex Dimitrotti's cousin in this movie, who is a real like gender fuck character. Like they like completely capturing like that energy of this era of like what gender fuck represents and like how to subvert gender and gender fluidity before that term even really existed. This is one of my favorite characters, one of the greatest performances in Australian cinema history. Paul Capsis has been like my hero since I saw this film. I remember Paul Capsis came to speak at my film school while I was studying there, and I was like in the front row, just staring the whole time. I'm like 23. I'm not even like a baby or anything. And I just like couldn't take my eyes off Paul because it's just like, they're my freaking hero. And they're so magnetic, the way they speak, and I was so enraptured, and they kept on making eye contact with me. I felt like so zoned in and so special, yet I couldn't say shit. I couldn't even raise my hand to ask a question, and I just hope that one day I can work with them or like just something, like interview them or something one day to just like make up for that one missed opportunity in my life. Just go, hey, your work means the fucking world to me. Because this performance, there's nothing like this in this country, the way that Paul Capsis plays this character. Before we even had the vocabulary to even talk about like what this character is doing, apart from talking about it in punk rock themes, like I've been talking about at the start of this little digression. So I think that this is one of the most important Australian films that is almost an unheralded classic. Like it got its due.
It's on the borderline though, because it feels like it's a movie that isn't talked about as a sort of a coming of age thing. 19. Mm. There's this weird thing of like coming of age, and then there's like you're an adult. And I love, yes. I feel like so much in contemporary life, it's this like protracted coming of age and coming to adulthood. And so for me, that's where like it synthesizes that head on, continues to be extremely important in our like, in the stories of Australia, like the stories that we tell about ourselves, and especially an ethnic story. So yeah, I feel like it's getting, it needs another couple of exclamation marks and underscores of like head on needs to be on the list.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it is very worthy to be in like the Sunburnt Screens canon. I think it is like, you know, like I say, it's one of the more punk rock entries in this canon. Like, and I think that's what's cool about Sunburnt Screens is that there are some like gentle classics, there are some masterpiece classics, there are some genuine classics, there are some weirdo discoveries in here, but this is like a almost a cult entry in here in a very like visceral sense. The one I will have like one big criticism of this release though is that same. It is there's only one new feature since the last Blu-ray that, of course, I've owned since it was released like 10 years ago or whatever. There's only one new special feature, which is awesome. It's a commentary from Anna Kokinos. So it is absolutely, for me, who already owned this, worth the upgrade for that audio commentary from one of my favorite Australian filmmakers. So absolutely thank you for that, Umbrella and Sunburnt Screens, because I think that is like a necessary addition to bring this movie into a new conversation to be held by the director themselves. But one thing I was left wanting was this has not been newly restored in any kind of way. And while I do think like the kind of grubbiness of the film itself, like there's almost cigarette burns on the film visible.
There's definitely like cigarette burns.
And scratch marks and stuff, I think that really suits the film. I think that it doesn't detract from my experience of watching this film for it to look this way, kind of scratched and shaggy, because I think that is like the energy of this film. Yet I do feel that this should have been newly restored. Like there's nothing written about this being a new restoration anyway. I don't think it's been touched since the last Blu-ray edition 10 years ago, and it shows. Like it's not in good shape.
No, it definitely, you want the care and curation of like a brand new, fresh, clean print, reassembled, like nice 2 or 4K scan. That's what it deserves. And then if the grubbiness exists, it exists, but you just feel like there are movies that are intentionally grubby and this is one of them, but it just feels like the crispness could be so much, like it doesn't pop And like the color and the vibrancy that is evident in the performances and the energy of the direction and the editing. It just feels like, I wonder, God, and in Australia, it just, you just start getting scared because you're like, don't tell me we haven't got a good print of Head On somewhere. Don't tell me that you know, don't tell me that AFTAs, you know, or AFI or whatever the case may be, does not have, or Acme doesn't have Head On in a pristine 35 print somewhere that could have been cleaned up. So you hope that that's what it was, or potentially, you know, I would love to have heard if it wasn't a new print, you know, if there was some other interview or something with Annika Kinnis that said, no, like, this is as good as I want it. I want it to feel like it's found. I want it to feel this. I just feel like it needed to be addressed. And because it wasn't, it's just like one of the disappointing things, because it's such a Stone Cold classic.
Yeah. And I think that the National Film and Sound Archive of Australia, they're like some of the best archivists and like restoration workers in the world.
Yeah.
And seeing recently like what they've done to Radiance, another great classic Australian film starring Deborah Malman, like you can see the absolute working care that they can put into something. And even in like the Sunburnt Screens, a lot of them have been like National Film and Sound Archive restorations, including the one we talked about recently, Shame, that look phenomenal. So it's something that I wish that I knew an answer to. I don't know. I haven't listened to the audio commentary yet, because I just want to refresh myself with the movie for the first time in like 5 or 6 years. Maybe it's addressed by Anna Kokinos in there, but I have yet to watch it. So I am willing to, you know, give benefit to the doubt that it could be a reference in there why the film looks like it's in this shape. But also, I'm too young to have seen it in the cinema. It could have looked exactly like this on its first printing, on its first press, and I have no idea. But to me, I think this is still a worthy release, and I think it's worth buying. Is it, if you already own the Blu-ray, is it worth the upgrade? It's up to you. If you want to hear the audio commentary, personally, I do. That's why I'm going to watch this movie again soon. But if you already own it, I don't know if it's worth the upgrade, because it's basically virtually the same disc. But this is one of my favorite movies of all time. If you've never seen it before, do not let my negative criticism of this release stop you from purchasing it, because these do get real cheap in those JB Hi-Fi sales.
Yes.
This is like one of the best, coolest, most interesting Australian films ever made. And it is so worthy to be in this Sunburnt Screen collection. And I'm very, very, very grateful that it is in there and that we've got a new Blu-ray of it. This is like, no shit, dude, like one of my favorite fucking movies ever made. Excuse me to ruin the review by being obscene at the very end.
No, I think it's the exact right exclamation mark we need. This has been another episode of The Blues Brothers. You can hear from me, Blake Howard, at everything we're doing at One Hit Minute Production. So this same feed, you're going to hear Zodiac Chronicle wrapping up. You're going to hear us talking to so many amazing people there. Miami Nice is heating up, especially. And now that you've heard this, the Twitter sphere has exploded in recent times about Michael Mann finally revisiting Heat with his Heat 2 book, which is coming very soon, just announced, that will capture 1989, so Neil McCauley's rise as a crew together, working alongside Nate, doing High Level Heist, and Vincent Hanna's career as a Chicago techie, taking down Frank Younger's crew, and he's a fucking maniac, as people who know Heat and as the biggest deep cut. And then following on from literally the day after the events of the film all the way through to 2002 with Vincent Hanna hunting down Chris Chehalis. Holy crap. And so I've announced that One Heat Minute is coming back to tackle Heat 2, the novel, a chapter at a time. The guests are already lining up. The crew is coming back.
Holy shit.
And it's impossible for me to not return back to that universe as promised. So you guys might have heard a bonus episode now that you're listening to this with Travis Woods, my dear friend, who hosted Increment Vice, because he, in the 165th episode of One Heat Minute, made me promise that if the novel ever came, that we would do it. And now I'm saying a chapter at a time, and some people I'm saying I should do a page at a time.
Oh, no, don't do page at a time.
I'm trying, you know, speaking as my fellow brother in podcasts, Lexi knows that a page at a time is at least 300 episodes, and I just don't know if I can come do 300 episodes.
No way you think Michael Mann's going to write only a 300-page book. There's no way. It's going to be a fat little volume.
Oh, my God. That's so scary to even comprehend, but it's going to be a chapter at a time. So that is announced. And, of course, long before that will be our show, Podcaster and Commander, on Peter Weir's incredible Master and Commander of the Far Side of the World, starring Rusty Crowe. But that's where you can find me. Lex, I know you are doing a mega series over at Total Reboot right now, taking us back to around the time this movie was made, at the turn of the last millennium. What are you and Cam doing over there at Reboot?
Yeah, I'm excited to announce it once again. We're doing a mini mega series on millennium mindfuck movies, movies at the turn of the new era that twisted things up in complex narratives. We're looking at Fight Club. We're looking at Memento. Ooh. We're looking at stuff like Mulholland Drive.
Oh my,
there's so much
gosh
in this genre cycle that I cannot wait to unpack, because they're both some of the most important movies to my journey into cinephilia and becoming a film fanatic, and movies I look back and cringe at how much I was obsessed with when I was a teenager. So it's a real perfect mix of mini series that we're doing here. And we've got some great guests lined up that fulfill an essential quality to these films. We are getting many guests that fulfill that archetype of an older big brother that will introduce you to these movies. So come with us on the journey into the new millennium, the far-off world of the year 2000.
Well, we'll catch you on another episode of The Blues Brothers very soon. We have so much more coming up. Obviously, The Imprint Companion is going to be kicking off hard. We are knowing now that there's going to be almost a release in Imprint Films every single month, and February is the first batch of that, so you're going to hear from us on Imprint Companion and The Blues Brothers. We have more physical media unboxing, unpacking, disrobing, if you will, coming up very, very soon. But this has been Blues Brothers. Everybody. Hi, this is Blake Howard, host and producer of One Heat Minute Productions podcast. We dive into the great and underappreciated cinematic works, often 1 minute or one scene at a time. Our crew of guests are some of the most wonderful filmmakers, writers, authors, and critics ever assembled. Our shows include One Heat Minute, Josie and the Podcats, All the President's Minutes, Increment Vice, and right now, Zodiac Chronicle. Check out oneheatminute.com or find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.